I'm Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central Show. TCS is brought to you by MTN Business, and you can visit them at mtnbusiness.co.za. And we thank them very much for partnering with the show and bringing you these great interviews. Just a reminder that you can subscribe to TCS on YouTube at youtube.com/TechCentral, or simply search Tech Central, one word, in your favorite podcasting app, and you will find all of our shows. Now, in the studio today is none other than Andy Higgins, the founder of auction website Bid or Buy, and the man behind what Bid or Buy has morphed into today, and that's Bob Group. Andy, it's really good to see you. It's been a while. How are you doing?
All good. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Fantastic. The last time we had you on the show was just under 2 years ago now, and that was regarding the launch of Bob Group, which was an amalgamation of Bid or Buy and a business called YouAfrica. I think you said at the time that the plan was to create an all-in-one kind of marketplace that helps sellers sell goods and services online and handles delivery and inventory management and all the rest of it. How's it gone? How's Bob Group doing? What have you changed since we last spoke?
Yeah, I think the plan has pretty much stayed the same. Okay. It's going well. There's a lot going on in the industry, of course, which makes things very interesting every day. We still got our five services, the one being the marketplace, formerly Bid or Buy, which is Bob Shop. That's grown over the last year by about 20%. But it's also facing lots of challenges and lots of disruptions within the market. So it's been very interesting. Mm-hmm. And we've one of our newer services, which has taken us longer than we would have liked to get going, mostly because of all the compliance and regulation involved with, and that's around payments. So that's our Bob Pay service. But I'm super excited about that because I think the market, personally, I believe, is ripe for disruption. And we hope to play a part, be one of the disruptors. And then we've got one of our more mature business, which is the old YouAfrica, and that's Bob Go, our courier aggregator. Mm-hmm. And that's growing about 30% year on year at the moment. And another very exciting newer service. In fact, I think I would have mentioned this last time. And that's our smart locker service called Bob Box.
Okay.
And we think that, especially in the South African market, there's a lot of opportunity there, in particular servicing the underserviced e-commerce market in South Africa. And then our fifth service is going along strongly as well, and that's our software as a service solution for courier companies called ShipLogic, which is growing nicely as well. So, there's a company in South America called Mercado Libre, a listed company. I think they're valued at something like $80 billion or something crazy. We've looked at their success, and to a large degree, we're trying to sort of replicate where we can what their success that they've had in South America here, because we think there's a lot of parallels.
Funnily enough, I was just reading about that company the other day. They're based in Uruguay, aren't they?
Yes, I think legally based in Uruguay, but obviously the bigger market's been Brazil and Argentina and also in Mexico and a few other South American countries, Latin America.
Okay, so Bob Pay. Tell me a bit more about Bob Pay.
So of course, I have my roots in payments from my involvement in PayFast when I was involved with starting that with Jonathan Smith in 2007, but exited that business in 2019. So it's been 5 years. So
you've done your gardening leave.
Yes, I feel that way. For me, probably one of the most exciting aspects is the introduction of PayShap. Mm-hmm. And I think we can leverage that to make a difference. I mean, again, looking at South America, it seems to come up quite a bit now. In Brazil in particular, they have a very similar service called Pix, which now has, in a matter of a few years, has overtaken by number of transactions, overtaken card, credit and debit cards combined in Brazil. Now, Pix processes more transactions than card combined in total. So it can change very quickly. I think in South Africa, we've got a few challenges there to overcome as well. And for once, it's not the, in my view, at least from my perspective where I'm sitting, it's not government. I think in particular, the Reserve Bank and Bank Serve in particular, they've been very proactive from my perspective in trying to get this out. And the bigger obstacles have become more from the private sector, from the banks themselves, who are pushing back a bit, I think, trying to protect some of their legacy income, which I think we're very quick to criticize government, often us in the private sector, but I think in this case, it seems like it's the banks that are being more of a holding it back.
That's interesting. Do you think the banks are wrong to impose fees on PayShap transactions?
Look, I think they can impose fees, a reasonable fee. And for me, I think it's wrong personally to impose it on the consumer. I think in our world, in the e-commerce world, it's accepted that the merchant can pay a fee for a transaction. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. In this case, I think it should be in relation to their costs, which we know with PayShap, the cost base is much, much lower. Mm-hmm. So I think it should be for to really get the adoption it deserves, it should be free for a consumer.
Okay, interesting. We've seen companies like Meta with WhatsApp launching instant payment services in instant messaging apps like WhatsApp in Brazil, India, and I think some other markets mm-hmm. potentially as well now. Are you seeing that as an opportunity in South Africa, sort of WhatsApp or instant messaging-based payment solutions? Or
absolutely. I think more general for e-commerce is people are already using it. It's just a bit clunky, right? And I think once those services become available, it just becomes streamlined and it will just grow even faster. I think we underestimate actually how much e-commerce actually takes place informally through things like through social media, social commerce, sometimes it's referred to.
Mm. Okay. So when can we look out for BobPay? When do you think it's going to be ready?
Well, we've already launched it. It's available at the moment, but it's PayShap hasn't gone live yet. We hope to go live we actually hope to be certainly one of the first to go live, if not the first, if we can get there. It's certainly not a technical limitation at the moment.
Is there a bit of a race going on?
I assume there is. I'm not really aware. I assume some of the other payment gateways must be implementing it as well. But we're ready to go. We're just waiting for approval from our partner bank. And then we're ready to start testing it. But that is sort of phase one. It's what they call pay by proxy. So it's still also not going to be the best user experience. And we expect by October this year for additional functionality to be in place called request to pay. And that will be a much better user experience. Mm-hmm. And that will also allow currently where the banks charge, which is most of the banks charge the consumer fee. There'll still be that fee now, which makes it less attractive than using other payment methods like card. Right. But when we get request to pay, it will be reverse billed to the merchant. Uh-huh. And I think it's going to be make much more sense then from an e-commerce perspective.
Yes.
But we want to get going as soon as we can.
You know? Okay, interesting. What else is coming from Bob Group in the next little while?
Well, the other exciting project for me, it's all the new shiny stuff, right? But it's our smart locker system, mm-hmm. which we've done a lot of research around it. We even hired some expensive consultants to advise us. And their advice was strongly not to build our own locker solution.
Okay.
There's many solutions available that you can purchase, not in South Africa, but around the world. And, you know, being the technology-focused company we are and a bunch of geeks, we couldn't resist. And we've ended up embarking on a process over the last almost 2 years now of building our own solution, designing the hardware, the firmware, all of that locally, and having the actual physical lockers manufactured locally as well through a partner. And that's allowed us to do it. We based on the information we have, at about 20% of the cost of what it would have cost us to import a solution. And of course, gives us much more control over it. So we've also made it South African proof, we think. We've tried. It's not relying on external power supply. It runs off a battery. Okay. We're using a very cool Internet of Things protocol for the communication called MBOIT. We partnered with Vodacom on that.
Okay.
And it's a new technology that allows you, it's low power, low bandwidth, but allows us to be sort of real-time online, being able to update to communicate with our lockers out in the wild. So from a tech point of view, it's been a very fun and interesting but also challenging product. We're used to building software as a company. Mm. This is the first hardware project we've taken on, which obviously, you know, tends to have longer iteration cycles and other challenges that you just don't think of. And then when you need to update something, it tends to take longer. So we're very excited about the lockers. In some countries in Europe, obviously, they're different markets, and population makeup and all of that is different, and how people live, how dense housing is, and that sort of thing makes a difference. But in a country like Poland, something like 80% of e-commerce deliveries are made to lockers.
Wow, 80%.
Yeah. So there is obviously an educational thing there as well.
But it's, where's the opportunity? Is it in townships? Is it in shopping centres? Where are you going to deploy these?
The answer is all over. But I'm particularly excited about the opportunities also in the more in townships and in places like that. We've still got a long way to go. We've got 70 locations at the moment. Only in Gauteng, Cape Town.
Identified for rollout or
no, really rolled deployed. Out, active, wow. Live. Okay. Yes, okay. Yes.
You guys don't mess around.
No, no. And we're hoping to up that. Yeah, we're setting quite ambitious tasks. I don't know if our target for next year is to reach 1,000 locations by the end of next year.
Wow.
And we believe we can do it because, well, our solution now is at least stable, we believe. And we can roll out, you know, having the local manufacturing, we can roll out quite quickly. The lead times for us are quite low now.
Okay.
So yes, I think it's petrol station forecourts, it's shopping malls. We have one in the residential estate where I live, and that's working well. Business parks, that's lockers. I should also mention we also do counters, so that's more a solution like a Paxi or a Pargo.
Mm-hmm.
We are very much focused on the lockers, but we think they can work, should work hand in hand with counters as well. In Europe, they refer to that as PUDO, pickup drop-off points, mm-hmm. which is also very popular. There's most countries now have thousands of points,
yeah.
you know, nationwide. So we think, you know, it's also the cost of deliveries, in particular into townships.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, there's surcharges that get typically charged by couriers.
Mm.
And so I personally believe that's when we're going to get the real breakthrough in e-commerce in this country, is when we can make e-commerce accessible to the entire population.
Yeah.
And then it makes sense also for rural areas, right? For you know, if you live out on a farm or somewhere, generally you would or know have someone who's going into town, you know, once a week or whatever the case is, and you can, you know, you can go and pick up your parcel then. And I think it's going to help to drive e-commerce out in the more outlying areas as well.
Fascinating. Is there good money in rolling out lockers?
No, or
is it
no.
A tight margin business.
That's a good question you ask. We do look at those numbers every day, and we ask ourselves, why are we doing this sometimes? Because financially, it is very challenging to get right. So it's really a numbers game, and it's all about consolidation as well. And so we think, so we're also launching an app before the end of this year. It'll be a consumer app, a BarBox consumer app. And so you'll be able to book your shipment on the app. Anyone shipping anything from, well, as long as it fits in the locker, from A to B.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to some extent you could argue the demise of the, unfortunately, the demise of the South African Postal Service in this country, we actually have an opportunity there more than other countries, because there is a need for even outside of e-commerce for people to ship things and cost effectively. And so in order for this model to work financially, we believe we have to go quite broad. But what we also, our model is not... it's what we would call courier agnostic model. So we're not becoming a courier company ourselves. We want to build this network of lockers, and we want to open it up. And because we believe we're good at the tech, we think we're well positioned to do that. We want to open it up to many different couriers who can use it, because we think it doesn't make sense, for example, for you know, 10 different courier companies to have their own locker outside a residential estate, for example. So we want to be provide that infrastructure, that network, and then enable any other courier who wants to tap into that to be able to use it. And that's also how we hope to get to the scale we need to make it work financially.
Do you think there's any role for the post office in e-commerce in South Africa, or has that ship sailed?
No, definitely. I mean, my dream personally actually would be to do a public-private partnership with the post office. And I was encouraged seeing, you know, with the changes happening and the communication ministry, I think they've even indicated that's the direction they would favor going. So if you have contacts with the new minister of communication, I'm here. I think we have the best solution, how we can actually work together with the post office to provide an excellent solution, not only for e-commerce, but for postal services across the country.
Yeah, okay.
Love to do that.
Interesting. Interesting. Solly Malatsu, if you're watching the show, give me a call.
Yeah.
This is the man you want to speak to. Let's switch gears a little now, Andy. Let's talk about the e-commerce market in South Africa more broadly, because I think since the last time we spoke, a lot has happened. Mm-hmm. It was already shifting in that direction. I think when we spoke in September of 22, we were 2 years into the COVID pandemic, which obviously had a big impact on the market as well. And I think drove a lot of people to think about shopping online for the first time. And I think a lot of those customers probably stuck around post-COVID. Is that the experience you had as well, that that a lot of people perhaps dabbled in e-commerce for the first time, said, hey, this actually works quite well, I'm going to continue doing it?
Look, I think if we look certainly at our stats, we got that spike during COVID and shortly and after COVID as well. But it has more, from what I can see, normalized, more reverted to its original growth.
Okay.
At least looking back, what happens forward, looking forward is another thing. But so you had this spike and then it sort of normalized to the people, I think, sort of did resort back to their old ways somewhat, from what we can see.
Okay. Okay. But there definitely has been a solid growth in the last few years. And in fact, I was just looking at some recent research from Worldwide Works, Arthur Goldstuck's research firm, that showed that e-commerce is growing and has reached 6% of retail sales in South Africa in 2023. And Arthur said that figure is expected to breach the 10% mark sometime in 2025. What's driving this growth, do you think? What are the underpinning factors that are propelling people to shop online instead of going into a retail store?
Look, I think I don't know for sure, but I imagine it's a few factors. One of them is that South Africa has just been so far behind the other countries, right? If you look even at the other emerging markets, they're all already well above 10%. So I think there's a certain degree of catch up, and COVID did help accelerate that. So there's that. I think the competition has definitely helped. In particular, the Chinese players, I think it's helped accelerate that.
People have become more comfortable with putting their credit card in online and shopping online.
And I actually think even the likes of Checkers 6060, on-demand delivery, I think people have experienced that and that I think has had some spillover effect into the broader e-commerce as well. Mm. My guess is it's mostly catch up though, and people are finally realizing, the benefits of shopping online.
Yeah. You mentioned Checkers 6060, obviously a huge success, and many companies trying to emulate what they've done in that space. How important is on-demand delivery in the e-commerce context in South Africa? Do you see this becoming the primary way that people shop online? I need a new microwave. I want it in the next hour.
I think for mainstream items, that's true. But I mean, for me, where e-commerce really comes into its own is with the long tail, right? So it's the choice. People shop online research shows for primarily three reasons. One is price. Second is choice or variety, and third is convenience. Mm. So on demand, I think it's the convenience, and I think that will drive it and continue to drive it. But I mean, if you're looking for something that's not, that common, it's not a sort of a commodity or a mainstream item, the chances are it may be available in the country, but not at a location where it can be delivered to you within 1 hour or whatever the case may be. So I think it's multifaceted from that point of view. And I think the both will sort of feed off each other and fuel the growth, and both will be important.
Yeah. Okay. Now, you mentioned the Chinese vendors. They're not only impacting our market, but America, Western Europe, lots of concern, particularly about Shein, Sheen, and Temu. And we've seen objections in the South African market from the likes of TFG, Takealot, which of course owns Superblist, and other companies being very critical of the way these companies are allegedly exploiting loopholes in the local South African tax codes. Do the critics have a point?
Totally. I think so. I mean, those rules that they are exploiting, you could argue, are from pre sort of internet days even. So,
De minimis regulations or codes. Which just explain it to me.
It's based on a minimum. So I think it was based to reduce admin, right? So if a individual or small company imports something for say under 500 rand, the admin of trying to collect the VAT and duties on that, is greater than the benefit of that income. But now when you've got a company like Temu that's effectively importing, arguably, it could be in the billions of rands of goods collectively, that situation is different now. And even worse, so they now, competing against other local importers who maybe imported in bulk, and they had to pay those VAT and duties, so it's not a fair playing field. So there's definitely a point there. But how to fix it is also challenging because, you know, there's obviously systems in place that aren't designed to deal with this sort of thing.
Yeah. And can SARS cope? Can customs cope with having to analyze every package that's coming to the country?
No, I don't think they can. But I mean, so they have a program that you can enroll as a private, you know, as private sector companies can enroll into, and you get accreditation, call it an AO accreditation. And so essentially, I believe they will continue to pass that responsibility onto other sort of forwarding agents and importers.
Right.
And they will do, SARS will end up doing spot checks to make sure that they are doing things correctly. But ultimately, I think the responsibility will fall on the sort of forwarding agent.
Yeah. I suppose it'd be unfair to me ask you whether you think the tariffs are correct and whether the industry needs protection.
I can tell you they're not correct because I've done some orders myself from overseas and the fees I've been charged are clearly incorrect because they're below 10% and VAT alone is 15%.
Oh, right.
Even if there was no duty, as far as I can tell, it looks incorrect.
Yeah. I was thinking more about whether we should be trying to protect our local textiles industry.
I'm definitely for free trade and so my personal view would be to, as long as it's a fair playing field, so it wouldn't be fair that Mr. Price gets taxed in one way when they import in bulk, but the individual importing a single item via Shein does not. To me, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Fair enough. What impact do you think, I mean, companies like Temu and Shein operate mainly offshore. They've got local fulfillment partners. I believe they both work through a company called Buffalo. Are we going to see more of this? More Chinese players coming in, perhaps players from other markets starting to compete with local retailers, but not actually setting up a presence in the country? And how do you think that's going to impact the market in the longer term?
I think what will probably have to happen is, I think there will be certain products that lend themselves towards that. Not everything. So you're sort of, many of your mainstream brand products will still go through more traditional supply chains, and I don't think that will be as affected. But certainly things like clothing and apparel, as we've seen, and other sort of more generic type products, will still. I think what will have to happen, in my opinion, is local players will have to adapt, and perhaps even just set up their own ways of, I think actually Zando's already done that, where they will actually also offer imported goods. If you can't beat them, join them sort of thing.
Okay.
I think, but I don't think it's a clear, you know, that's going to shift, everything is going to go that way because, still you're going to buy a Samsung TV or something like that, you're not going to buy that from a Chinese retailer.
No. Right? No. It's interesting to see Amazon said it's also looking at launching a low-cost portal or tab on its website.
Even us on Bob Shop, we're experimenting with it. We have enabled a few select sellers to ship directly from China to their customer in South Africa using Buffalo Logistics. So, and that seems to be working quite well. So I think that's going to be a bit of a hybrid.
Right. Interesting. And I wanted to ask you about the Competition Commission's recent findings. They did, I forget the full name of the investigation they did. It had a very long name, online intermediation markets or something like that. But they came in for a bit of flack where it was suggested that they were punishing Takealot in particular and that it wouldn't apply to Amazon because Amazon wasn't in the market at the time, and that's unfair. What is your take on the Competition Commission's draft findings, and do you think that it's even warranted that the Competition Commission is interfering in a market that is still relatively new and still a tiny portion of the overall retail market?
Yes, I think that's a very good point. The fact that, as you said, e-commerce is at best 6%. I'm not sure if it's even that high at the moment, but let's say it's round about there.
Okay.
So yes, so it's a question should online have so much scrutiny when it's such a small part of the overall market? I think it's valid. I also think it probably was initiated before all the new competition came into the market as well, because I think since they would have initiated that investigation, a lot has changed. And so I imagine I'm not sure, I don't have any inside information, but they probably will back off a bit, because I think natural markets, it has
markets already moved on.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And it's no longer that take lot is if they ever were this threat of dominating the space, because clearly they're not. There's a lot of competition there already. And I'm not talking offline now, I'm talking online. So I actually think it's a little bit moot now, because natural elements within the market have taken care of it as far as I'm concerned. And so I think there's less reason for the Competition Commission to be concerned whether it was justified in the first place or not. Mm. I think there were, if you looked at other markets, there are signs that, where you could look there where there was one big dominant player, and there could have been cases where they abused their position. Mm-hmm. So I think there is some scope for it, in particular when that player is a first party seller and a third party seller, so where they sell their own goods. And they provide a platform for other sellers, especially small businesses, to sell. I think there is a good argument for some regulation to be put in place to protect those smaller sellers,
including here in South Africa.
I mean, I think even if it's as a preemptive measure, because you could see what's happened in other markets.
Okay.
So it's not clear cut in my mind, but I actually think it's. I imagine if I was the Competition Commission now, I'd be less concerned about abuses because there is so much natural competition now already. Mm. It's probably going to only intensify moving forward.
What would you like to see from the Competition Commission? What do you think they should be doing in this space? Beyond what you've just mentioned, of course.
Yeah, I think probably more of a hands-off approach would be my sort of more approach.
Let the market develop.
Yes.
Before you start to regulate.
Exactly, yeah. I'd say so. I would love to, on the payment side, for them to be more proactive on ensuring that the banks allow the new tech to come in and allowing that to take off. Yeah, but on the e-commerce side, I think yeah.
Okay, let's talk about Amazon. When did they launch now? Was it May?
7th of May, I think it was. 2024.
So it's been in the market just over 2 months now. I think people were expecting a lot from Amazon when it launched in the local market, and I think that may have led to a lot of inflated expectations. Certainly they haven't shot the lights out. I must admit, I went on there the day it was launched and placed an order and tested it out, I've hardly been back. Mm. I go back occasionally and nothing much changed, and I've kind of gone back to my old shopping routines online, and Amazon isn't on that list. Do you think it's a flop?
No, I wouldn't call it a flop. I think it's the partly the media to blame. They created this, I believe, unrealistic expectation, and maybe just general consumers in general who maybe have experienced Amazon.com and Amazon.co.uk created this in their mind, this expectation. As far as I'm aware, nowhere did Amazon South Africa themselves ever say, you know, what was going to happen or create any hype themselves. In fact, I think if anything, they downplayed it. It was external parties that created that expectation, right? And if you look at where they've launched in other markets, I don't think, as far as I'm aware, they've gone with great fanfare in the beginning in any of those markets. And so there's no reason why that should be any different in South Africa. So I personally was always a bit skeptical when people expected this overnight miracle, it seemed, to take place. And I think it's exacerbated even more so by the fact that, you know, if you look at other international players that have come into our market, and I think you could say dominate our market in areas like search with Google, social media like Facebook, and even Netflix in the streaming business. For me, there's one big difference there in that those services are purely digital. Whereas here, when we talk e-commerce, for the most part, there's a physical product involved, which adds much more complexity to the process. You've physically got to get that product in this country. You've got to ship it internally. There's all these other elements involved, which make it far more challenging. And therefore, I think it's going to make it take much longer before you start seeing them having an impact. For sure, the Chinese players like Temu and Shein have had a much bigger impact in the last year than Amazon by a long way. Yeah. Mm.
I think one of the things that surprised many people, and I was among them, was that they launched without any Amazon products. So, you know, all their smart home products and their smart speakers and all those sort of branded Amazon products, which are available, ironically, on Takealot and other online platforms, were not available, and as far as I know, are still not available on Amazon.co.za. They did say when they announced that they were going to launch in South Africa, they'd also be launching Amazon Prime here, that there's no sign of that launching yet. Were you surprised at the limited range that Amazon offered at launch?
I think any normal person probably would have expected at least the Kindles and the and the Echoes and those sort of things to be available. So yes, that was a surprise, but also not as much for me because I know what is involved to logistically to make that happen
and support those products. Yeah,
yeah. So I'm sure it will come.
It'll come. And Prime, do you think Prime will come as well?
I think it will come as well. But I think it's going to take longer than most people expect. It's challenging. And how do you, you know, like mentioned before about surcharges into townships and, you know, things like that maybe are not as applicable in other markets. And they are using third-party couriers, you know. So you need to figure out how do you factor all that into the model. And I think one of the challenges Amazon would have, I'm just speculating here, but I mean, they're having to fit into software and a system that's been built for other markets for the most part, I imagine. And I think it would be quite hard to get specific customizations made to how their system works for you know, South Africa, which would make up a fraction of their business. And so they would have to make what they've got work for South Africa somehow. And I can just see challenges all over in getting that right.
And I think many South Africans tend to think, it's Amazon, it's Netflix, it's, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. Those guys are these global brands. They know how to do it better. But we've actually got some very smart retailers in this country, don't we? I mean, Amazon is not going to have a walk in the park here, even if it came in with everything and did everything immediately. It's going to face the resistance. Take a lot of smart guys. Bob Group's doing amazing stuff. But there are a lot of retailers, both online and traditional legacy, if I can call them that, physical retailers who really do know this retail game. And do you think maybe Amazon perhaps underestimated the volume of competition in South African market and the sophistication of the local market?
I imagine they would have had some insights. I'm sure they're very thorough and would have done their research.
Sure.
And they would have experienced, for example, in India and other countries as well, lots of competition, even to the extent of the likes of Walmart through Flipkart in India, right? With lots of investment. And of course, in South Africa, we have Massmart, which is also owned by Walmart now. So I think they would have gone in with their eyes wide open mostly.
Yeah.
But I imagine they would have been surprised more by the logistical, on-the-ground, operational challenges that they face. That would be my guess.
Okay. Okay, interesting. You mentioned Walmart and Massmart. Do you see them being a big player in e-commerce in this country?
Yeah, I think Takealot, Amazon, Massmart. You've got the Chinese contenders. Of course, Bob Group is we're trying to do our thing as well. I think they all have big ambitions and have a lot of resources behind themselves. So.
Big fight coming.
I think so. Yeah, I think it's already here. Yes.
Okay. So how's this all going to play out, Andy, in the next few years? Look into your crystal ball and tell us where you think this is all going.
If I have to have a guess, I think there's going to be multiple players that will end up being successful, and maybe some will find more of a niche than others in certain areas. But also, having said that, I think there will be effectively one winner. I think the nature of a in particular a marketplace where, you know, you have this network effect and the buyers go where the sellers go and the sellers go where the buyers go. I think it tends to form, and this is where I think there is some legitimacy in the Competition Commission keeping an eye on this, it tends to form a bit of a natural monopoly, and then that can create opportunity for abuse. So I think even though there will be multiple players, if you look again like at Brazil, there's something like 8 successful marketplaces in Brazil. Mm-hmm. But Mercado Libre is the dominant one. So I think something similar will end up happening here. And if I were to have a guess, I think that will probably be end up being Takealot.
Takealot, yeah. Not Amazon.
Based on, yeah, that's my gut feeling.
Because of their early entry into the market and their understanding of the market.
Yes, and their logistics in particular. I mean, something like that could change. I guess an Amazon could come and buy a local logistics company, right? And I think that could change the game completely. But Takealot, for example, own Mr. D and have built up that business over many years and have, you know, a very large local operation and then all the knowledge and the experience, and obviously don't lack resources in having Naspers
And Amazon is clearly working through third-party logistics firms, whereas Takealot has seen it as important to control that logistics value chain. Does that lead to Takealot winning in the end because they control the logistics? How important is that?
I think it's critical. I think the logistics is the most critical. There's many aspects in order to operate successfully in the e-commerce space, but I think logistics is the most important. So it's for sure a huge opportunity. But I mean, in other markets, Amazon have built their own logistics infrastructure as well.
So it's not unheard of.
So yeah, so it could happen in South Africa. I think it's a long way off though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fascinating. Always good to talk to you, Andy Higgins. Andy Higgins is MD of Bob Group. Thanks for sharing your insights on the e-commerce market, and look forward to seeing how this market develops in the coming years.
Thanks, Duncan. Me too.